Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill. I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Adam Holland and Group Finance Director Will Wilkins of MPAC, a global high-speed packaging and automation solutions group servicing the healthcare and food and beverage sectors. So big welcome, gents.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be here.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, well, as most investors appreciate, a lot of the sort of the global supply chains have been very much sort of upended since the Liberation Day tariffs, which were imposed by President Trump at the start of April. So maybe we can start there, Adam. I don't suppose you just quickly walk the audience through what the company saw after those tariffs were implemented, and likewise, perhaps more importantly, how the order flow and the current demand profile looks like now in Q3.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to. Look, if we go back to probably the place to start is our trading update on the 1st of July this year. We talked then a bit about the impact of US tariffs. And what we saw at that point was that we've had no cancellations from customers as a result of the tariffs, and that's still the case today. But what we had seen was that customers were deferring their own capital investment decisions in response to the tariffs. And for us, that meant deferral of new original equipment orders. And the kind of features of the market back then were that if we looked at the pipeline of projects, it was continuing to fill up at the top end with new projects that customers wanted to launch in the future, but that wasn't converting at the bottom of the pipe to new orders. It was a bit like we had a kind of cork in the bottom of the pipe, particularly in the US. We saw it with some large global customers as well. So we're a bit slower worldwide, but the predominant feature was a significant slowdown in the US as customer paused new projects and didn't launch them. So EMEA and APAC holding up pretty well. The service business was holding up well as well. But the result was that we saw the order book for MPAC decline during the first half of this year. We started the year with £118 million and at the half year we're at £91 million. So a significant reduction, you know, £27 million down in order book over the first 6 months of the year. 2.5 months on, where are we? Well, it's flattened out. You know, we're reporting today the order book now stabilised at 93, so up a little bit. Let's call that flat, I think. So we've flattened out. That decline we saw in the first half has flattened out. And what are the features of that? Well, you know, if I look back at the first half, we won 90 original equipment orders with 41 different customers. Yeah, 42% of our original equipment orders by value were with customers that were new to the group. And, you know, doesn't that tell a story about the slowdown and the impact that it had on us? There are some encouraging signs in that. £8 million of the orders we won in the first half, so 13% of our original equipment orders, were with global customers who are new to the group, who've got the scale to place orders, not just, you know, once in the first half of the year, but many times in multiple years as well. And that's quite encouraging. And we've also seen the first synergistic sales come through from the acquisitions that we delivered last year. And, you know, so an example of that would be a line in Mexico for a customer which combines a Langen Kartner, a Langen case packer and a CSI palletizer in the same line. So, I mean, that's all very encouraging. But I think probably, you know, the main feature of the market is that slowdown in the US that's continued into the first few months of the second half of this year, but it's been balanced out by the progress we've made elsewhere. And the result is that fundamentally no change to our forecast for the full year. You know, we're on track for the numbers that we announced on the 1st of July.
Yeah. And just, I know it's a difficult question, but how long do you think this sort of like air pocket in demand is likely to last? Because obviously you're an expert in all things automation, and there's that reshoring coming back into the US. And you've already seen some of the sort of large pharma companies in particular sort of making large announcements of putting their manufacturing out into the States. And I know it's a $64 million question, but I'll ask it. When do you think it's going to come back?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is to deal with the implicit assumption, that it will come back, and it will. You know, if we go back to previous downturns, we have to go back to COVID or back to 2008-09 financial crises. We saw a slowdown in parts of the market then, or the worldwide market in the case of COVID. And you know, very similar features that the pipeline then continued to fill up from the top. It was cork in the bottom. Nothing was coming out. Nothing leaking out the sides either. And so eventually this pipe starts to expand, and at some point something's going to give. If you think about it, you know, from a customer's perspective, you know, we can see what's going on there. You know, there are customers under enormous price and cost pressure. You know, that really drives a need to address those operating costs in our customers' businesses. And how do you do that? Well, you automate. You find ways to take out cost of labor in your facilities. You change packaging to reduce packaging material costs, and that involves packaging machinery changes. So all the kinds of things that MPAC does help customers with those challenges that they're facing. And I think that's why that release comes. We have seen, you know, significant pressure on our customers causing restructuring in their customer groups as well. You've probably seen the Kraft Heinz announcing a split after 10 years. Unilever have now taken steps to separate out their ice cream business into a separate business. The Mars acquisition of Kellanova is going through review in Europe. So lots of pressure on our customers. And the question you're asking is, you know, when does all that lead to a change in buying behavior? You know, I don't know. I don't know. And I think anyone that tells you they do, you know, is kidding themselves. We are seeing this as a pause. We absolutely believe that markets will recover in time. And in the meantime, we're taking a very cautious view on when that will happen and planning our business accordingly.
Yeah. And I'll just highlight to investors, I think President Trump has actually announced the big, beautiful tax bill that goes into effect in September, which I think is incentivizing a lot of manufacturing to come back into the US and giving them quite attractive tax credits. So you might find some of it waiting until that is actually enacted. And therefore, we'll start seeing some. But it's anybody's guess. Okay, brilliant. Let's move on to the numbers as well, Will. I suppose you could just quickly walk us through how the company fared in the first half.
Sure. Will you, Paul? So I'll run through the financial KPIs for the first half, starting with order intake. So order intake, 64.2 million, was 7.5% above the prior year. That's underpinned by really strong performance from the 2024 acquisition of CSI. On a like-for-like basis, order intake is 37% below the prior year, with the shortfall being due to tariff disruption affecting customers in the US. And regionally, EMEA is now our largest market. It contributes 56% of our order intake in the first half. Again, a factor of the acquisition of CSI, which is heavily focused towards EMEA and that tariff disruption. The Americas now equates to 39% of our order intake, but that is now focused more on LATAM as opposed to the US. We move on to revenue. So revenue is 84.7 million for the half year. That's up 41% on the prior half year. And on a like-for-like basis, if we exclude the acquisitions and we exclude the prior year Freya revenue, it's broadly unchanged from the prior year, so impacted by that lower book and bill from order intake in the first half. By sector, food and beverage is by now our largest sector. More than 50% of revenue is to customers in the food and beverage sector, again, supported or underpinned by strong revenue from CSI. That order intake and revenue combination leaves us with a June order book of 91.7 million, and that's good coverage over half two revenue. And in terms of book and bill to the end of the year, where we are today and where we were at the half year means we're exactly where we've been in previous years, and where we are well placed to hit our full year revenue guidance with the order book.
And then just why did the existing businesses, pre-acquisitions, why were they sort of like disproportionately impacted by the tariffs? Was it a regional fit or product or something like that?
Yes, it was indeed. So the pre-acquisition businesses, if we call it that, had a higher proportion of revenue from customers in the US. And when we talk of the Americas, for them, it was mainly the US. So we've seen a period where customer decision making has been extended in the first half for the reasons we just touched on. So the prospect pipeline, broadly unchanged from where it was, the prospects are still in there. Timelines to convert prospects to order intake has been slower, and that's the impact.
Okay, good. All right, brilliant. Well, if we can now switch to the three acquisitions. I know you've been so very busy going across the Atlantic there, Adam. How is the integration going there, both on the product on the OE side and also importantly on the servicing side?
Let's talk through. I think we'll start with the consolidation in the US. That's probably the place to start in terms of integration of acquisitions. So we announced on the 1st of July that in response to what we were seeing in the US market, we were going to consolidate our US facilities and do that fairly quickly. And I have to say, I'm really pleased with how the team have managed that. It's not an easy thing to do. We've already now completed the last factory acceptance test of a switchback machine in the Cleveland facility, in the time since that announcement. There have been five or six other switchback projects that were previously planned to go ahead in Cleveland. We've now transferred those to our other facilities in North America, and they're being undertaken there without any impact on customers. And we've also taken the first steps to transfer our US parts fulfillment center to Boston. And actually, that will be complete in October as well. So I'm really pleased with how quickly the team have reacted to what we've seen on the ground and taken steps to adjust. We've done a whole load of other things around the US that I guess aren't part of integration as such. All the kind of normal cost and cash actions that you'd expect in this environment, reducing contractors and introducing discretionary spend restrictions and so on. But because of the acquisitions that we made last year, we've got lots of opportunities around us that we wouldn't have otherwise had to respond as well. So already this year now, we've completed the first electrical panel builds in Romania of non-CSI equipment. So equipment that we've been built in an existing CSI facility, but now supporting our other facilities in Europe. We're launching the first Langen Ostro machine build into Romania right now, which is very exciting. And you some of your watchers and listeners might have seen that we've announced a new engineering hub in Malaysia, which takes advantage of the absolutely incredible level of capability and engineering talent in KL, and the economic advantages that come from the supporting global engineering activities from Malaysia. So we've done a lot in a really short space of time. There is always more to do to drive improvements in our business. And we're going to continue to respond to the conditions that we see in the market around us and take strategic steps to position ourselves better for the future.
Yeah, and then after that, Cleveland being shut, the site being shut down. How much sort of like spare capacity does the business have? Just total, in total, given what the current demand picture is, because I presume you've gone from sort of like, fully loaded now to having some sort of got spare utilization.
We've managed the way we think about utilization, probably if you're looking at in from outside, is looking at lead times through our factory. So, the key question we ask, if we're underutilized, we've got people sat around with nothing to do, that's not a good place to be. If we're overutilized, then we take an order, it might be several weeks or even months before we have engineers free to start work. And that can affect lead times. And the thing I'm really pleased to report is that our lead times today are absolutely normal. We're able to quote exactly the same lead time today as we were facing, towards the end of last year. We've managed our capacity in line with that and really pushed utilization back to where it needs to be in each of our factories. That's really easy for me to sit, in the boardroom and announce. It's really hard for the factory managers to deliver, and they've done a great job in managing that. A lot of hard work goes in to make that possible. But the result is that we're doing well.
Good. Okay. On another positive note, I see you had a buy-in agreement with Aviva for the pension. So, Will, I don't suppose you could just take us a quick reminder of what's involved there.
Sure. So it may have been slightly lost in the other news that went out early July regarding with the trading update. But yeah, really positive that the company and the trustees reached an agreement with Aviva for a buy-in transaction covering all known liabilities. Value of that annuity is 249 million. Absolutely was the beginning and the end for the pension scheme. And we're working with the trustees now as efficiently as possible, minimizing costs, but also bringing the timelines as short as possible to achieve buyout. Conservatively, that could be anything up to 2 years after from the date we announced buy-in, but we're working diligently to achieve that as efficiently as possible. And as we announced in July, we anticipate when we get to buyout and it's complete, there'll be a return of funds to the company, and we quoted a sum of 5 million. That still looks like a good number. So we're confident we'll be able to achieve the timelines and the return of cash to the company.
Brilliant. And then just in terms, Will, of the outlook for the rest of the year, also in terms of the cash and the cash generation in H2 and
Sure.
to bring down the net debt.
So I think it's important to say, as Adam's already said, we are absolutely on track to deliver our forecast. We're announcing today results for the half year and reaffirming our position for the full year. Half one was tough because of tariff disruption, but we made rapid interventions there and consolidation in the US to put the group in a stronger position going forward. Second half will be weighted in terms of profitability, but that's as it always has been. It's often the case with MPAC. So the profile in the second half is strong with both order intake, second half weighted, profit second half weighted, and that then flows through to cash generation in the second half, which brings us back to a net debt position for the full year of 37 million, 37.5 million, which is in line with guidance. So as of today, we've got the order book and we've got a pipeline which supports that roadmap to get us back to the updated guidance.
Fantastic. All right. Well, if we just now just sort of close there, Adam, and get a few final remarks for investors of how the company, is planning to move going forward, particularly through this soft patch once it's finished.
I'd love to. I think there's three things really that when I reflect on the announcements today that I take away from it. The first is the businesses that we acquired last year are performing really, really well, and we have our investors to thank for making that possible last year. The second thing is that I think the team have responded exceptionally well to some very challenging market conditions and at real pace. You'll have seen, no doubt, we've also announced today a number of board changes, adding some additional non-execs into our board, really strengthening the team and positioning ourselves for the future. So I'm really pleased with how the team has responded and the strength of the team going forwards. And then the third piece would be, we saw in the first half of this year a fall in our order book. It's a significant change. It was the reason that we made the announcement on the 1st of July that we did. That's flattened out now. The order book has flattened out now over the last couple of months, 2.5 months. And so to be able to say today that the group remains on track to meet guidance, I think is the key takeaway. And thank you very much for your time on that, Paul.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks again, guys, and very much looking forward in touching base in about 3 months' time. So
very
thanks,
good.
Guys.
Thank
thanks.
You.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.